WSECU isn't just one of Washington's best credit unions. We're a Forbes Best in State 5 years running. Why? Because we put you first. Lower fees, early paydays, financial guidance, and service second to none. As a member-owned cooperative, we love Washington as much as you do. From the Olympic Mountains to the rolling Palouse. Join us and discover how much we care about your financial well-being. Because what we really do best is invest in you. Visit WSECU.org today to learn more. Washington, let's credit union.
Support is available 24/7 with VerboCare. We're here day or night, ready whenever you need help. Because a great trip starts with the right support.
Get ready for another episode of the Life Strong Project.
And now in stereo. Yeah. Yo, this song.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Life Strong Project. I'm your host, AC, and as always, I'm humbled and blessed that you chose me to embrace your airwaves and ride on through to your speakers. Today's show is a special one because there are so many of our people, so many people I know that want to take that leap and become a business. Well, wait a minute. Before I even put that out, our guest is going to preach and teach about the differences between running a small business and being a business owner. So I don't even want to put that out there yet. But a lot of us want to, you know, take that jump into entrepreneurship. So today, I am thrilled to have a guest who has dedicated over 40 years to the art and science of brand building and marketing. Came from humble beginnings, started in the music industry, where he was mentored by legends, and they recognized him for his inquisitive mind and exceptional ability to process and implement complex ideas. He's carved out a remarkable career. His experience on brand, agency, publishing sides of advertising and marketing industry, he's learned every facet of the process, from creating to strategic execution. Now he's channeling the wealth of knowledge into guiding small and minority-owned businesses, helping them bridge the gap between their ideas and their definitions of success. His approach is well-rooted in real-world, hands-on experience. That's crucial, y'all. We ain't bringing somebody in here that hasn't, you know, put the time in to actually hone that craft. So that's important, y'all. You know, whether you're just starting out or looking to scale your business, the insights he's about to share are invaluable. And trust me, we've already chopped it up just a teeny tiny bit before we started the show. And I'm telling y'all, this is about to be real. You need to get your notebooks. You need to get everything ready. Take some notes. Record this. Whatever you got to do. He's about to share some incredible knowledge with us. Please join me in welcoming small and minority business extraordinaire, Sean Atkinson. Welcome him to the Life Strong Project, everybody.
I appreciate it, bro. I apologize for making you go through all that, but I appreciate the accolade.
They are well earned, sir. Well earned. Well earned, man. Hey.
We joked about it going in. I don't know what the male version of getting somebody's their flowers is, but I'll take it, bro. Thank you so much.
That's that steak you was talking about, eh?
Yeah, that's the steak. Steak, big piece of chicken. I don't know what it is,
not the big piece. Not the big piece of chicken. Man, thanks for dropping by and just, dropping by the Life Strong Project and just sharing the information that you have with this. And like I said earlier, you know, we've chopped it up a little bit. And man, I'm like, whoa, this guy is a wealth of information. And the way he breaks it down is, it's imperative that he breaks it down like that for a lot of people so that we can understand. This ain't stuff that, you know, you can read a book, and a lot of times the book is a little over the head, especially if you're just starting the journey. And, you know, if, you know, sometimes reading is boring, but nah, this brother, the way he points it out, I was like, oh, okay, wait a minute. I had to put the brakes on him a little bit, like, wait, you share that with the people. don't share that with the people. But man, tell us about yourself, man. Tell us. I know you, you know, 40 years, you know, in this type of, you know, capacity. Just share a little bit about, you know, who you are and what you're doing.
Absolutely. Well, the 40 years, somebody might go, you're lying. Like, how old are you for you to be talking about 40 years? The short version is my mother started working at Atlantic Records and Elektra Records back when it was Atco. So this was end of the 70s going into the 80s. So I was about like 6-7 years old. The first lesson I got in advertising and marketing is I'm getting ready to start working at a label. And they're going to have music artists. And I need you not to do what you do when you're out in the neighborhood and just run up to people and say hi. And she explained to me why. She said, because they have their own brand and their messaging. In some cases, you know, they may be marketing the person as someone that's friendly and caring and all the rest of that. And they may not actually be that kind of person. So I need you to learn how to be able to read situations better and not just do what you would normally do. So that was one of my first initial introductions. And that was where I really start to pick up on not looking at things at face value and taking a closer look and asking follow-up questions. So, yeah, it was the start of it. And then my mother worked in the data processing team, so where they generate all the reports. So I got to see why they, like, you know, what they thought was important. And then when they would deliver the reports, I'd go around with them as a kid and see what departments they were handing them out to. So when they were handing the reports out, I'm like, yeah, I noticed you were running this report. Why'd you run this report? Why is it important for the marketing team? Why is it important for the sales team? Why does A&R want it? Why is your report different than their report? And when you're asking these questions, it's like a 7-8 year old kid. They're like, these are questions beyond your age. Why, you know, what made you even think to ask? And it's like, I wanted to learn as much about it as I could because I found it fascinating. Once they explained the persona to me and I got to notice that somebody on the third or the fourth floor carried themselves in a different way than they carried themselves on the first floor, I wanted to know why. And my mother was always someone that said, if somebody jumps off a bridge, are you just going to jump off a bridge or you going to ask them why they're getting ready to do it? I only need to get in trouble one good time with that before I started learning to ask follow-up questions to go, well, why are you doing that? And the why led to my why of why I do this. I wanted to learn the process. I wanted to know what I was looking at, and I wanted to stay out of trouble. So, so much of it is about mitigating risk and understanding what you're looking at. And that's what led into me being groomed, is such a weird word now in this today's age, but I was being groomed to be in the music industry, to learn how to be able to do A&R, understand how there's an audience that you need to find an artist for. And then sometimes there's an artist where you need to find an audience for. Two different things. So it was my introduction to understanding how to build a brand and then how to be able to engage with an audience in a meaningful way. So I started at like 7-8 years old. I would go in every chance they would allow. This is back when they used to allow company picnics and do a lot more things where it's more family oriented. So I got exposure to, you know, a lot of the music execs that did it in the old school way of you had to actually know what you were talking about and know what you were doing. So I grew up around them. And, you know, as I got older and the questions kept getting smarter, they kept going, well, I see this is something you're serious about. And they continued to teach me. And
now, it wasn't this, until I got time, older. How old are you? At this time, how old are you during that time?
I will be 50.
No. At this time, no. I mean, in the story, you're.
Oh, this is 8, 9, 10 on up. Like, it was something where they would give me assignments. Like, when I was a kid, I used to like to look at the ads on train stations. And they would say, you can tell what neighborhood you're in based on the ads. So at like 8, 9 years old, I'm looking at the ads and I'm like, okay, we're in an Irish neighborhood. Okay, we're in a Spanish neighborhood. I'm looking at who they have in the pictures. I'm looking at how they're phrasing, how they're selling it. So where some people were getting some of this information in their 20s, I was getting it long before then. So I've just been looking at it for the better part of my life. So I was literally just having a conversation today where I was explaining most things don't change. They just, I mean, they're not completely different. There's just subtle differences. There's nuances.
Okay.
So much of the process is the same. Sales is sales. Advertising is advertising. Marketing is marketing. There are just subtle differences because the platforms and the expectations change.
Okay.
The ease of use changes. Like right now, with the introduction of AI, it's a blessing and a curse because it's lowered the entry point so there can be more entrepreneurs, but it's also lowered the level of requirements. So everybody's a guru. Mm. You look on social media and everybody's got this, you know, newfound advice and all the rest of this stuff, but you don't necessarily have the information to back that up. Right. So you have to now cut through more of the noise than you did before. So where before it was very restrictive and it was more of a monopoly where you didn't have the same level of access to the resources. Right. Now you've got the resources, but you don't have access to the actual results and the information on how to be able to process it. Okay. So the game is the same. They just changed the requirements on how to be successful. Wow. So that kind of goes back to what we were originally talking about of, are you trying to be a business or are you trying to be a business owner? There's subtle differences in everything, and you have to be able to know what it is that you're trying to accomplish. And that's why I always say your definition of success, because it's going to be different for everybody.
Right. I'm trying to paint this picture in my head. Mm. It's 8-year-old kid walking around, learning the nuances of you know, branding, marketing, you know, business, and picking things apart and all that. I'm curious, how did that, because you're 8, man, at this time. You said 8, 9 years old. That's what is that? About third, fourth grade?
That's about right.
So I'm trying to like I'm trying to picture you through, you know, third or fourth grade, and you know, third and fourth graders running around, you know, and no care in the world, you know, and you know, they're doing their thing, and you know, here's you, you know. I mean, how did you interact? Like, were you looking at other kids and or things and saying, you know, picking certain things out, like, that notebook,
I mean, if I'm being honest, the other side of that and the other way that I tend to tell the story is my mother introduced me to the game of Monopoly, and it gave me an introduction to the business side of things. Right. So where I was getting schooled on the marketing and the advertising side of it, I had my first business when I was in like third, fourth grade. Like, we were playing Monopoly, and I would like, you know, I'm asking permission. Well, can I buy this property? I think, is this your money? You can spend it whatever way you want. And I'm like, whoa, whoa.
WSECU isn't just one of Washington's best credit unions. We're a Forbes Best in State 5 years running. Why? Because we put you first. Lower fees, early paydays, financial guidance, and service second to none. As a member-owned cooperative, we love Washington as much as you do, from the Olympic Mountains to the rolling Palouse. Join us and discover how much we care about your financial well-being, because what we really do best is invest in you. Visit WSECU.org today to learn more. Washington, let's credit union.
With VerboCare, help is always ready, before, during, and after your stay. We've planned for the plot twists, so support is always available, because a great trip starts with peace of mind.
So I don't have to ask you for anything? I can just do what I want to do. And her thing is, well, I mean, so is this just in the game or is this in life? And her thing is, well, you know, if you're making your own money, I can't really tell you what to do with it. I can advise you on how to spend it. So, you know, I started seeing opportunities everywhere, and the rest of my life, it's been that way. So, wow. At 8, 9 years old, I started noticing when I was in class, I'm going to say this was like second grade. I noticed I would be in class. I open up a Nowlane and somebody's like, oh, yeah, let me get one. And my thing is, dude, you should have stopped at the store on your way in. Like, you trying to shake me down? You know how long it's going to take me to be able to refresh my pack? So by the time it got to third grade, I'm like, okay, I'm seeing a trend. God. So third grade, I started opening real loud, noxing on that joint in class. No, let me get one 3/4 quarter. So by the time lunchtime came around, I had already made my money back, and then I was making more money. So by the time I got to the end of the day, I started getting to the point where I was matching and exceeding the allowance my mother gave me. So I'd stop at the store on my way in. I get an assortment of candy, and then I wait until like third period where you're far enough in the day where you can't leave school and you're kind of stuck. And then that's where I realized, you know, a timing and understanding when to be able to give people the opportunity to address a challenge or a struggle. If you understand the timing of when to make the offer, then you can shorten the sales process. So this goes back to, if we fast forward to just in general, That's understanding the customer journey. If you're catching somebody early enough in the day, they might go, I don't really need to do anything with that. But if you catch them in the right moment, and when they're prioritizing what it is they want, and they realize their options are limited, you can charge what you want to charge. So I learned that lesson early on, and it was something where I continued to just see opportunities and go, okay, well, based on this, I should be able to this. I should be able to try it out. So I got set up well enough where by the time we got to, the teachers meetings,
parent-teacher conference?
Parent-teachers meeting, yeah. I got partially scolded because they're like, listen, your son, he's interrupting my class with his business over here. And my mother's like, what?
Wait. So the teacher acknowledged this as a business. That right there is impressive.
I was on generating revenue throughout the week. I had goals. If I made $5, I'm going to match that $5. Now I need to see if I can get up to 10.
Oh, so, man.
Yeah, I legit was like, okay, like this is how you do it. So when I would go back into like the label, I could go, okay, well, this is what I learned about supply and demand. This is what I learned about this. Now, I didn't know what those terms were. They gave me the definition of the terms. This is why when I explain it to people, I tend to explain it in a real world way without giving the industry name. Okay. So it's funny to me now because one of the things I had to learn as a business owner is I know how to do things, but I had to learn how to explain them because for me, it was just part of my regular life. I didn't think about it. I just knew what I knew. So now, more recently, what I had to do is I had to start reading the books because when I would talk to people, they're like, oh, well, do you know about this this principle and this and this and that and the other? And I'm like, I don't know what this stuff is. Mm. And then I realized I went to open up a couple of books and read some of them. And I'm like, oh, I've been doing that for years.
I didn't know that's what you called it.
I was too busy doing it to think about what the name of it was. So, yeah, and the whole in the parent teachers meeting, it's like, listen, your son is very ambitious. He's interrupting the class, selling his candy and all the rest of that. And I need them to focus on the lessons we're given. And my mother looked at me like, well, what is going on? I was like, you told me if I make my own money, I can keep my money. So is this why you haven't needed the allowance? Is this why? She had to apologize to the teacher and go, listen, I'm sorry. This is actually my fault. I didn't know he was going to run with what I told him like that. We will rein this in and we'll start to figure out a better way to be able to do it. So what I realize is I'm not special when it comes to this. When I talk to a lot of serial entrepreneurs and people that have been around the business for a long period of time, they all have similar stories to something like this. Like it may seem like a random thing that you might hear from me, but there are so many people out there that have a similar version of it. It's just their own nuance and their own way of approaching it. But yeah, once you see it, you can't unsee it. And then you see it everywhere. So that's why I love working with small business owners, because all I see is opportunities. It's just a matter of finding one that someone is connected with in a way where I can say, yes, I can actually help you get to your definition of success. And when I say definition of success, it's different for everybody. Some people are in it for the money. I know some people that have kids and they want their kids to know that they have options. You don't need to be an employee. This is where you can go and start your own business. And then that opens up doors for people to do other things. I'm not 6'9" anymore. I'm probably like 6'8", 6'7". You get a little older, you give some back to the benevolent fund. Now it's, it's one of those things where people would see me like, oh yeah, you must play basketball. And I'm like, bro, I could do other things. Like, don't put me into that category. Yeah. Growing up, you could be a music artist, you could play sports, or you might do one or two other things, but they didn't really make it an opportunity for you to do other things. So, if I look at myself as now looking back, I've always been a disruptor.
You're listening to the Life Strong Project.
WSECU isn't just one of Washington's best credit unions. We're a Forbes Best in State 5 years running. Why? Because we put you first. Lower fees, early paydays, financial guidance, and service second to none. As a member-owned cooperative, we love Washington as much as you do, from the Olympic Mountains to the rolling Palouse.
Join us and discover how much we care about your financial well-being, because what we really do best is invest in you. Visit WSECU.org today to learn more. Washington, let's credit union.
With Vrbo's last-minute deals, you can save over $50 on your spring getaway. So whether it's a mountain escape, city break, or a week at the beach, there's still time to get great discounts. Book your next stay now.
Average savings $72. Select homes only.
WSECU isn't just one of Washington's best credit unions. We're a Forbes Best in State 5 years running. Why? Because we put you first. Lower fees, early paydays, financial guidance, and service second to none. As a member-owned cooperative, we love Washington as much as you do, from the Olympic Mountains to the rolling Palouse. Join us and discover how much we care about your financial well-being, because what we really do best is invest in you. Visit WSECU.org today to learn more. Washington, let's credit union.
We're back at the Life Strong Project.
Now, looking back, I've always been a disruptor. Like when you talk about entrepreneur types, right. I've always been a disruptor. Like, oh, so that's what you're telling me? That's what you're telling me my limits are? That's what you're telling me the least I could do?
So for the list, disruptor, I get it. Define what you mean by disruptor, though. So,
okay.
Because the person listening might be like, he's a disruptor. He's what?
So what I'm working on is I'm working on different entrepreneurial types, and I rounded it off to around 10 so that it makes it's wide enough so that people can see themselves in different ways. But I'll give you three. There's the assimilator, where you go into a market that already exists and you're not changing things. You're finding out how to be able to navigate within those waters. Then there's the innovator, where you're creating something new that never existed. And then there's the disruptor that comes in and say, I see how y'all are doing all of that, but there's a better way to do it. And if you do it my way, it's going to be more efficient and it's going to work out for you. And you change the expectations and the requirements. Now, if you just look at those three, an assimilator will have to figure out how to be able to get in the market and stand out. And that's going to be one of their biggest challenges. You're not changing anything. You're saying I'm different without being different.
Right. Okay.
For the most part, you'll find ways to be different and stand out because your style is your style. Not everybody is going to be the same because their life experiences are different. The innovator, you're going into new charted territory that's been untapped. So you have to first get people to acknowledge that this is something that is going unaddressed, and then get them to believe in you enough to be able to say, yes, I want to work with you. So you're innovating. Whereas a disruptor will come in and say, like, for example, with small business owners, when being on the corporate side, I used to say, I have people ask me all the time, like, how do we do this? How do we do that? And I'm a small business owner. I'd love to be able to do it. And I say, well, can we bring them in? And they say, no, they don't make enough money. No, they're not going to be, it's not going to be reward enough. To know the conversations that happen in the rooms when you're in the room is drastically different than what they're telling you on the outside of it. So being in the room and knowing how they actually talk about people, I fought to get in the room so I could know what they were saying. So when I got outside the room, I knew what to repeat back in a way to say, listen, they don't think you understand. They don't think you're going to be able to do this. I believe that you can. Now, if I'm keeping it a buck, and we said, speaking honestly, regrettably, there are some things that they said, you know, we don't do, and we don't do those things. And, you know, despite my best efforts, they're habits now. So now, as a disruptor, I have to come in and break those habits to get people to see that there's a better way to be able to do things. And that's what I mean as a disruptor. So with a disruptor, you're not just going against trying to win over an audience. You're going against the existing habits and principles that are in place. And you have to know when you're a disruptor, you're going to take your lumps and your sales process is going to be longer because you're battling a lot of different things to be able to get your voice heard and be heard in a way where people can go, oh, no, that makes sense. I do want to do that. So I think it's important to know what kind of entrepreneur you want to be. And it's not just coming up with the business idea. It's understanding when you take that business idea to market, this is going to make you this kind of entrepreneur type. So if you know that, then you know what kind of milestones you're going to need to hit.
Okay.
You know what kind of challenges you're going to be facing. You know how to fill in more of the blanks of what you don't know you need to know.
Okay. All right. So let me ask you this. How do you help businesses define and achieve their version of success? So like, because like you said earlier, you said, you know, everybody has their version or their definition of success. Mm-hmm. How do you navigate that? I mean, when you walk in and you have these discussions with them, and I mean, are there times where you have to define success for them?
That's a great question. Absolutely. Some people are looking to be guided, and some people have their idea and they want someone to help them bring it to life. Different people have different paths that they want to be able to take. And the first thing that you need to do is figure that out. How do you learn best? I need to know who you are. So then this way I can figure out how to be able to, going back to the music industry side of things, how to be able to package that up and then put it in a way that you can present it to everybody else and have it mean something to them. Away from the business, my brother told me something once that when I heard it, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm good for quotes. So when I hear something, I'm just going to bookmark it and just go. It may not be useful now, but it'll come back to me later. But I remember being, you know, like we could take it back to being brothers. I remember being younger and that angry brother like, yo, I'm out here busting my and, you know, I got to work harder than other people have to work. Right. Why is that? So I used to be irritated. His thing is, let me tell you something about you being upset. The only people that the only time that being upset matters is to people that care about you. If they don't care about you, they don't care if you're upset. They don't care if you're inconvenienced. They don't care anything about it. They care about the results.
Right.
So once I picked up on that, then it became something where I just learned to stop taking things personal. Once I could remove the personal part of it, then it allowed me to be more pragmatic. And when you can be more pragmatic and you can look at situations for what they are, then and remove yourself out of it, then you can look at more solutions. You can find more options to be able to do what you're doing. So to go back to what you were saying, I look at the person. I ask questions outside of the business idea. Tell me about what's going on in your life, who you got around you, because my strategy is going to be different. If you've got like I was just talking to someone yesterday, it was like, oh, yeah, we talked about it. I want to have my money make money for me. OK, well, then how do you want to go about doing that? Well, I don't really have time to, you know, do all the legwork. OK, so then you want to be a business owner. You don't want to run the business. You want to be a business owner. You want to own the business and hire smart to be able to bring people in so that you can still own the business, but you're going to bring people in, the right people, to run the business for you. And you're managing that person instead of the whole business. There's a difference between being a business owner and running a business. If you don't understand those things, there are different pieces that you have to put into place. So when I have these conversations, I am asking these types of questions. I want to know, if you're someone that's going to start a business, we can use like an online clothing store as an example, because that's what I gave him as an example. Mm-hmm. We've got friends that started their business, and I'm like, how many times have you bought a shirt, a sweatshirt, or a hoodie from them? When you start a business like that, you start with friends and friends of friends, but eventually you have to broaden your horizons beyond that.
Right.
Where some people hit the limit, the sky being a limit and the limit being the sky, is they never go beyond their friends and friends of friends.
Now,
how many times are you going to buy the same shirt from somebody?
That's true. Now, I'm curious, jumping on the back of that right there, because here's the mindset of a lot of people I've had discussions with. You know, you hear things such as word of mouth is, you know, the marketing by word of mouth. How effective? Now, I know there is some truth to that, but like, you know, the person selling shirts, you say, how many times are you going to buy a shirt from that individual? When are they going to branch out and, you know, and hit these other people? What do you tell the individual that's saying, hey, so my marketing is, you know, somebody buy a shirt from me and they go out and tell somebody where they got the shirt from? What information or insight do you give that individual?
It depends on the individual. This is what I'm saying. It's good to understand what somebody's circumstances are, because if there's someone where they have enough friends, if you do it strategically, you don't go back to the same friend for at least 6 months, a year. If you space it out, then that doesn't seem like as much of an inconvenience. If you're coming back to me a month or two later and I'm like, bro, I just finished giving you money, I'm financing your business. I should be able to get some kind of rewards back from that. So, you know, this is where, like, when you start doing those referrals and you start doing loyalty and rewards programs. Okay. So if you're talking about doing something where you're using your friends and you're leveraging word of mouth, then you have to reward those people for the efforts because you're turning them into a version of employees. They're building your business for you as opposed to you spending the marketing budget that you would spend to be able to promote your business yourself. So that is one of the ways that I would explain it. And the way that I explained it to the guy I was talking to last night is we both know the same guy. And his thing is, yeah, I mean, after a certain point, there's only been so many of those I could have bought. Uh-huh. My thing is now, if I told you that I want you to get your LLC so that I can bring you in and we can go, for example, and this was the example I gave him, we can go over to the local schools in the area and we know they're doing school trips and things like that. Mm-hmm. We'll get you to be able to do their school t-shirts, hoodies, sweaters, and all the rest of that. You get a contract and that contract lasts for a year. What's the difference between a steady contract mm-hmm. that you know that money's coming in versus asking your boys to be able to buy your stuff? One is a steady check and the other one is a risk. So when you're telling me that you want to be able to have a business, but you don't want to have to do the legwork, okay. Well, then you basically have your people doing the legwork for you. You have to figure out a way to be able to reward them for bringing in new business. Right. And then you can also reward them instead of, let me pause here. One of the things that I talk about with mm-hmm. my business is I want you to pay out of your profits instead of out of your pocket. So that's okay. My starting point. So with that mentality, then I can get into the rest of it. In this case, the example I gave him is I would look to set you up with something where you can get that steady money first. Let's uh-huh. hit a milestone of generating revenue. So then this way, as you start to generate revenue, then I can actually charge you my regular price. But I'm not going to, you know, rake you over the coals to start because you're going to think it's a lot of money. It's not until you start generating money that you start to realize what it is an investment. Mm. It's a completely different mentality. You're investing in yourself and your business as mm-hmm. opposed to, ooh, well, that cost a lot. And the first thing we say to each other is, ooh, why you charge so much? Because if I didn't charge as much, yeah. how am I going to stay in business?
Yes. Yeah.
You'll go over to the luxury stores and do it. And the luxury stores charge as much as they charge because they've been around for as long as they've been around. Uh-huh. But as long as you keep giving them the money and you keep building them up and you not spending the money within your own community and within the people that you actually want to be able to see, then how are they going to stay in business and how they get to the point where they can actually do what they need to be able to do? So this is where understanding what your goals are going in matters, because that's where I would tell someone, based on what your goals are, uh-huh. this is the strategy that I would give you to be able to be successful. If I know that you're in it for the money and you might sell the business off, let's look at black hair care. You know how cold it is to sell it as a black business and we understand your hair and all the rest of that. And right. then you get to a certain point and you sell it off to one of the bigger companies and they stop caring the same way. And you go in and you go to the store and you're like, you know what? I know I could always get my joint. And then you go in the store and you just can't find
it. You can't find it. Yeah.
That's bad on me because I shouldn't have gave you that as a marketing strategy. I could have, you know, gave you a way to be able to say, we're going to sell what it is that you're selling, but we're not going to ingratiate you to the community as someone that's going to be around forever, knowing that you got the intention of selling at one point. If you're not selling it to another black-owned business that's going to allow them to still get it the same places right. that they've been getting it, then we're doing the audience a disservice. Right. And that builds mistrust and distrust. And when you build that distrust, that's where we start to see the crabs in the barrel. And this is where we start to see people mm-hmm. going, well, you know, that's the perception of small business owners where they're like, oh, it's risky. If I go with a smaller business, I'm running the risk of not getting the results that I want. We did it to ourselves.
Wow. Wow. Now, boy, shot through the heart right there. Shot through the heart. So, I mean, with all your extensive background in brand marketing and, mm. and building brands and things like that, in your opinion, mm-hmm. What do you believe the key components of building a, and I want to say, I let's say building a strong or the beginning, the building blocks mm-hmm. of building a strong brand for small businesses?
First, I would say recognize that your business is a brand, even if you don't think it's a brand. That's going to be important because that's one of the things that I think people find a hard time wrapping their minds around. But setting up a business is there are basically three pillars that you need to keep in mind.
Okay.
You need to find a challenge or a struggle that people have consistently. You need to find a solution for it. And then you need to make sure that you can deliver that solution consistently with the same results. Mm. If you start with those three things as a foundation, then you've got the makings of what could be a successful business, whatever your definition is, because you're covering the basic essential needs. There's a challenge, there's a struggle, you address that challenge and struggle, and you deliver on it consistently so that if it's something that they want to get again, they can. And you have to understand this, again, goes back to what kind of entrepreneur you want to be, what kind of business that you want to start. If you look at it from, you know, t-shirt versus automotive, t-shirts, you're going to have constant overflow. Like, you need to have a lot of customers to be able to cover that because the price point is going to be lower.
Right.
But when you start getting up in automotive, how many times are people buying a car? That's a long sales process. Yeah. So yes, you may need a lot of people, but you need people that are going to ride or die with you through the whole process.
Right.
You're selling a different level of an experience. So that's why it kills me sometimes when I see people that are doing like an online brand of something and they put luxury in front of a you know, a clothing product or something. Then I know how much they spent on it. You know what I mean? This is where it's different for me because I know these things. I know what the distribution costs and stuff is for stuff. So when somebody's like, oh, like, I tell people, like, I'm your worst customer. Because, I you know, it's like, I know how the cookies were made. You know what I mean? I know the ingredients and everything that goes into it. So if I see you, you know, taking half measures and I see you doing some of the rest of these things where you say luxury because, you know, luxury technically sells, but you're not making it, you don't understand the word luxury from the marketing standpoint. Luxury. Right. Means that you're giving someone a great customer experience. We talked about the food truck that you went to.
Right.
And your experience with that. We won't get into the details of it, but the experience is what you're paying for. That's the luxury. When you go into some of these stores and they're charging you a ridiculous amount of money for something that you could have got off of Canal Street if you're in New York or whatever version of it is where you're at, you're paying more money because they're asking if you want a bottle of water. You're walking in and there's somebody dressed a certain way and they have comfortable seats. And they're doing all these different things to make you feel special. What you're paying for is to feel special.
Positive stories, positive people, positive lives. The Life Strong Project.
WSECU isn't just one of Washington's best credit unions. We're a Forbes Best in State 5 years running. Why? Because we put you first. Lower fees, early paydays, financial guidance, and service second to none. As a member-owned cooperative, we love Washington as much as you do, from the Olympic Mountains to the rolling Palouse. Join us and discover how much we care about your financial well-being, because what we really do best is invest in you. Visit WSECU.org today to learn more. Washington, let's credit union.
With Vrbo's last-minute deals, you can save over $50 on your spring getaway. So whether it's a mountain escape, city break, or a week at the beach, there's still time to get great discounts. Book your next stay now. Average savings $72. Select homes only.
WSECU isn't just one of Washington's best credit unions. We're a Forbes Best in State 5 years running. Why? Because we put you first. Lower fees, early paydays, financial guidance, and service second to none. As a member-owned cooperative, we love Washington as much as you do, from the Olympic Mountains to the rolling Palouse. Join us and discover how much we care about your financial well-being, because what we really do best is invest in you. Visit WSECU.org today to learn more. Washington, let's credit union.
We're back at the Life Strong Project.
Your product is no different than what the other product is. It might even be cheaper to make it by the luxury brand than it is for the person that's running a small business. What you're paying for is the experience. So when I see somebody put luxury in front of something and you're not giving me the luxury experience, kick rocks. I'm a New Yorker, so I had to cut the curse out. But yeah, kick rocks. You know what I mean? Like, come on now. So this is one of the things why I'm saying it. You have to understand that your business is a brand. So if you start with those three fundamental things of finding a problem that needs to be solved and identifying it is one step, but you have to make sure that there's a large enough audience for it. That's one of the things that people kind of skip over. Because if you don't understand how large the audience is, then you don't know there's chances are, like, how do I put this? I don't want to say that there's no original ideas. They're just on a lot of people that get to follow up on them. So when you see something that's new, it doesn't mean that it's new. It just means that there's probably 100 other people that thought of it and just didn't think that they could see it through. Right. One person had the temerity to go, you know what? I don't care if nobody else did it. I'm going to do it. And then that's where, you know, we start looking back at entrepreneurial types. That's an innovator or a disruptor. An innovator might say, well, nobody's done it, so I can try it. Uh-huh. Or somebody might say, I've seen people try it and fail. And just because they failed doesn't mean that I would fail. I've got a rational confidence because I've been around it long enough to go, I'm a fail, but right. eventually I'm going to get it right. And when I get it right, oh, I take copious notes. Everybody told me that I wasn't going to get it right. Like, I'm not going to humble brag.
Nah.
I'm going to let you know. Like, yeah, you thought I didn't know what I was talking about.
Wait, so you got to let them know.
Oh, yeah. Internet keeps receipts, and so do I. You can call me Mr. Internet. I keep track of all of it because I use that to drive me on the days where I don't really have it. I think back to, you know, like I said, I've been around advertising and marketing for 40 years. I was there when it was different. Like, we're talking about the entry level being lower.
Right.
I was working in it when we weren't allowed to be in it like that.
Ooh.
I could go. I mean, I listened.
And when you say we,
I could go months without seeing another brother or a sister.
When you say we, you mean
us as a people, minorities, black people.
I just want to clear that up.
Months without seeing another brother or a sister. Months working in the advertising industry.
Wow.
So what I did is I learned the game. My thing is I went in with the understanding of I need to learn this process. So that I can make sure that I can always be in the room. So I got to the point of understanding, and this is why when you hear the breakdown, I worked on the brand side, I worked on the agency side, I worked on the publishing side, I worked on the exchange where, you know, that's the bridge in between. So when you want to run in a paid ad, normally there's an exchange that says, okay, well, this is a brand that wants to reach this kind of audience.
Okay.
How do we reach that kind of audience? So I'll break the process down for you so that people can understand a little bit more.
Okay.
This is high level, so this isn't really small business. But if you understand this on a higher level, then you understand it on a more of a on a lower level. There's supply and demand. So when you build that brand, most cases on the larger level, you're looking for an agency. An agency is going to be the people that know all the different publishers. So they're going to know where the demand is. And they're going to say, based out of all these people that are out here, we think that these are going to be the ones that can get you the results that you need. So supply and demand is, I have the supply. Now I need to find out who would actually buy it. Mm-hmm. Who can help me figure out how I can buy it? That's where the agencies come in. And then for the exchange is, okay, well, how do we make that transition happen? So if you're doing digital advertising or paid advertising, you may go through an exchange, and exchange makes those things in real time. So if you see an ad on a website and you click on an ad and it brings you over to the website, that's part of what exchanges do. It basically is saying, okay, we're going to be the facilitator to make sure that you can get this ad over to this person at the right time and then get them over to your site. And then it's on you to be able to close that deal.
Oh, okay.
So everybody has their own priorities. The brand wants to know everything that they can about the audience that they want to be able to have. The agencies need to know all the good publishers to be able to partner with so that they can get the brand's money. The exchange needs to know how to be able to make it a smoothest transition so that they can continue getting those deals. And then the publishers that have the audience have to be mindful to protect their audience and not just run any kind of ad through, because then they're not protecting their audience. They're giving access to people in ways that could compromise their audience and make them lose those people. So your revenue on the publishing side is your audience. So I've worked on the publishing side where they're like, oh no, that's a great brand, but that ad they want to run, we're not running that up on any of our stuff. The moment we do something like that, that could cost us some of our audience, and the money that we would have made off that ad doesn't equal the money that we have that we're making off of them as a subscriber. Long money versus short money. The way I used to joke with people and break it down and go back to real world terms is, you're chasing 20s in the wind and stepping on dollars.
Okay. All right. So things are coming to light. things are coming to light now. So, wow. And I'm curious if, I'm picturing, you know, this one minority individual in a room in a sea full of non-minority, or whatever, as you would, whatever. And I'm curious, the issues that you had to face then, businesses have to feel somewhat the same way. Have you noticed any discrepancies, any hurdles between the minority-owned small business and the rest of the small business world? Are there different hurdles that they have to, have to jump as opposed to their counterparts, minority-owned businesses and other small businesses?
Absolutely. I don't know how deep you want me to go into
deep.
I can tell you just from working in the industry, back in the day, like, you would have to give your idea to somebody else if you wanted to see it come to fruition.
Man,
they didn't want to hear from you. Like, it could be a great idea, but they didn't want to hear it from you. They were still holding the reins. So it would be, brothers, sisters, and or minorities and women standing in the back, and you had to give the idea to the person that they were going to hear it from. And, you may get the credit internally, but externally, you don't know anything about that. I'll give you an example. I worked at GQ Magazine when the .com era was kicking in, the first version of it.
Okay.
And I remember the flip side of the way it is now, where they were selling, ad space in the magazine. And my thing is, I see what they're doing with this .com. I'm going to sell it as an added bonus. We're going to take your website and promote it on our site. So yes, you can get the you can get your ad in print, but let's put your actual link so that people can click over to your site,
right?
In something else so that they have access to it. So all of the subscribers that we have, when they go in and they go to check their subscriptions and all the rest of that, they'll be able to go to a page where they're going to be able to click on it. Now, that first version of .com didn't take off. And people were like, oh, it's not going to work, this, that, and the other. I'm like, see, I'm sorry, I'm looking at it a little bit different. It didn't work this time. It doesn't mean that it's not going to work. And I tried to tell people about it, and they didn't want to listen. So my thing is, okay, it's been great being here. I enjoyed it. I'm going over to the .com side. And I had to weather the storm waiting for it to pick up. But once it picked up, I was there to be able to learn all the stuff that I needed to learn. So by the time the people that were on the publishing side caught up, exitivus obsoletus, you've been sitting over there for so long, you don't know what it is to be able to move over to these other things. So that's just one example. But when you take it over to, are there differences? They're different conversations completely. There's different conversations that are happening into the rooms where things are being negotiated and the money is being exchanged. Mm-hmm. It's like, if I keep talking about giving real world examples, it's getting a job before it's posted.
Wow.
If you know about a job before it's posted, you get it before anybody.
I'm about to say, you got the inside track. There you go.
Because you're already in the room. Exactly. If you're not in the room, then you're waiting for word to get out to get posted, and then you're competing against everybody else. So to take it back to where we were having the conversation and you were like, wait, hold on for a second, save it. I promise you I would bring it back around.
You did.
Black Wall Street.
This
is where Black Wall Street was different.
Okay.
We had everything within the community. And I don't mean to like make it like a bigger thing, but when you're going into a deeper conversation, you said go deep.
Mm-hmm.
This is where I believe that as a Black community, we lost our power because we used to keep that money in the community. Mm-hmm. And we saw what happened when they were doing the bus boycotts and all the rest of that. Our money stayed in the community. It wasn't until we fell for the luxury, air quotes, and started talking about, well, I always wanted, they would never let me into the store, but now they're letting us in the store, so I'm going to go spend my money over there. And then they started spending their money with these other brands that our money got watered down. So where you look at other communities, they still have that where they buy within their community.
WSECU isn't just one of Washington's best credit unions. We're a Forbes Best in State, 5 years running. Why? Because we put you first. Lower fees, early paydays, financial guidance, and service second to none. As a member-owned cooperative, we love Washington as much as you do, from the Olympic Mountains to the rolling Palouse.
Join us and discover how much we care about your financial well-being, because what we really do best is invest in you. Visit WSECU.org today to learn more. Washington, let's credit union.
With VerboCare, help is always ready, before, during, and after your stay. We've planned for the plot twists, so support is always available. Because a great trip starts with peace of mind.
This is why so many people from other countries can come over and build up. Like, the first few people come in, they get their restaurants, they get their stores, and then they put all their money into that, and then they get the next store, then they get the next store, then they get the next store. I'm going to throw you a completely different wild card, but this will kind of make sense when I bring it back around.
Okay.
I remember living in California when they had the Rodney King riots. I don't really look at them as riots because I got to see the back end of it. And what I saw was there were people that had lists of people that were in their neighborhoods that didn't treat them right. And when the riots happened, they had a list of people that needed to go. So when they started talking about stores were burnt down and stuff like that, that wasn't random. There were people that were like, you know what? We could take it back to the movie Menace to Society. I feel sorry for your mother. Well, I feel sorry for your business, because now your business is going to go, and we're going to replace it with a Black-owned business that actually appreciates the people that are in this community. So there were things going on behind the scenes that were bringing a little bit more back to that Black Wall Street of going, let's keep our money within the community. When you talk about, like, I got out, I came from New York and then I went to California. So I didn't know about Crips and Bloods and stuff like that. I got out there and they started talking about, well, where are you from? And this, that, and the other. I'm from New York. I'm about money. Y'all making money? Because if y'all aren't making money, I can't claim any of the rest of that. Like, you're saying that you own a block that you don't actually own. What I came to appreciate was they set a standard for who can make money within their communities. And that's where that originally started. What it grew into is something completely different.
Right.
But where it starts is we can't just have anybody coming into our community and in our neighborhood and prospering off of our backs. We are going to set a standard. We're going to put a boundary in place of, if you're not from here, you don't need to be here. The same way I didn't even know they had some places in California we're not supposed to go. I went out to one area and they were like, don't let the sun set on you. And I was like, well, you don't even have to worry about it. I'm gonna turn the car around now. Sun don't need to set on me. Don't even need to shine on me. I'm out. I'm not spending my money here. You can't get my time. You can't get my money. You can't get none of my attention. You can't even get none of my shine of me driving through here. I could swear I saw you. No, you didn't.
So you ain't even gonna get, hey, don't even worry about it.
The way I explain it is, when I know somebody's not for me, we can't share air.
Wow.
Not I don't want to be in a room with you. We're not going to have conversations. We're not exchanging pleasantries. If you're not for me, if we're not, then we don't need to share. You doing you, respectively.
Right.
Did you ever see the cartoon with Sam the Wolf Dog and Ralph the Coyote, where they were friends and they go into work and he'd be beating the hell out of the court? Yeah, that is what I equate the corporate world to. I had to get to the point where I stopped looking at it as taking it personal and understood it was just business. Wow. So when we're on the clock, I understand you're trying to get me. When we're off the clock, we could be cool, as long as I don't take it personal and you don't take it personal. So I don't look at people as competition. I look at them as, you got your goals, I have my goals.
Right.
You have your way of doing something. I have my way of doing something. So I don't look at somebody that does the same thing that I do as somebody that's competition. I look at them as somebody that does it differently. If somebody likes the way that you do something, I'm going to send them to you. Because if they try to do it with me, it's not going to go the way it's supposed to go. And let's go back to the three pillars. I'll add in a fourth one. They have to actually be happy with the results that you deliver. So find a challenge, address the challenge, deliver consistently, but make sure they're actually happy with the results that you deliver. If you're so busy holding on to all the business and you know you're not able to deliver in a reasonable way, why not let that other business get that business, deliver the great results, and find a way to collaborate with them so everybody eats?
But that's when you get into the whole crab in the barrel mentality that you were talking about.
They think the money is finite and that there's a limit on it. There's no limit on it. There's just you with your short-sighted way of looking at it. If you're smart enough, you can figure out a way to go, well, let me not say smart enough because that's insulting. And because I've been around it long enough, is condescending, because I'm making it sound more simple than it is. The reality is, if you look at the process and you understand where you fit in the process, whether it be the customer journey or just in general, mm-hmm. if you can figure out that somebody's better at something at a certain part of that process than you, then let them go do that. But then you can still fit the piece of the process that you're great at. So, for example, one of the things that I'll do is I'll give people brand and marketing strategies. When I first started my business, I was doing agency of record. So I was doing everything. And what I realized was I was building websites for people, but I was actually doing a lot more than that. But they were calling me like a web designer. And I'm like, I'm telling stories with the website. I'm setting up the marketing. I'm doing all the rest of these things. There's web designers that know how to build much better websites than I do. Why am I going to stand in the way of you making that money when I can give you the brand strategy and everything that you need to build an even better website? And when you're done with it, give them back to me. And then I'll implement the strategy that you just created a place for them to go find.
Wow. I'm curious. You said you mentioned something that I'm finding out in a lot of small business owners. First of all, in your opinion, how important is, because you mentioned websites, how important is a website? That's number one.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, if it is important,
mm-hmm.
why is it that many small businesses choose to look over that fact? Like, I don't know how many small businesses I have come in contact with, and they said, "Man, I like the product. You know, you got a website? No, but you can, you know, here's a card, and you know, it's got mm-hmm. the phone number on it, and you know, mm-hmm. you're like, oh, okay,
yeah. You got WhatsApp, you got Facebook Messenger,
yeah.
Oh yeah. They're doing things all kind of ways. You know the way that I used to explain it to them when I would build websites. Did you ever go to a concert or a sporting event, and they've got ticket scalpers, they got the kiosk, and then they got the store?
Mm-hmm.
The ticket scalper, you could buy the ticket from them, but right. you could get up to the gate and realize, you know what, this isn't even a real ticket. So it's a bigger risk, but you don't have to spend as much money. The kiosk, you're going to spend a little more money, but you may not get the same type of discount that you would want to be able to get. And then the store is a brick and mortar.
Right.
You're going to pay more to get there. But when you get to the gate, you're going to the gate with certainty of I hope this ticket is good. This ticket better be good.
Yeah, it
goes. Money I spent, your mentality changes as you start to step up. So when you look at websites, there are people that are perfect. Like, oh, I do just fine. I can't tell you how many people I talk to where they're like, oh, I do just fine selling through Messenger. I'm like, what are your goals? Because if this is a side hustle and not something that you're taking that seriously, I'm not going to mess with you about it. Right. I can tell you ways to be able to do better with it, but I'm not going to mess with you about it. But if this is something that you're taking serious as a business and something where you're saying, well, I want to basically leave my job at some point and do this full time,
mm-hmm.
then that's not the way to be able to go about doing it. So to answer your original question, it really depends on the business, because some businesses, their website is what you would call a brochure site. So you're just going there to gather information. You're right. It's not necessary to, it's not necessary in the purchasing process.
Okay.
You gather enough information to realize this is somebody that you want to rock with. And then you start to have that conversation. And most of the real business is taking place over the phone or with other way you might be able to go about it.
Okay.
That's why there are brick and mortar stores that felt like they didn't need a website until the pandemic happened.
Oh.
And then Mr. Copious Notes was like, so when I was telling you that you need a website so that people can reach you online and not just walk into your store, now they can't leave the house. Now what? This is why I've had friends that are like Mr. Pettyworth over there. Like, you just, you won't let it go, huh? No, because I know what I know when you try to tell me I didn't know what I know. And I'll let you rock with it. You can enjoy it. You can mock me with it while you have it. But when it comes true. I even had a teacher. I spoke to a teacher because I wanted to. One of the things I wanted to do is get into schools, because when I was growing up, and even now, they've gotten better about it. But they give you business management, but they don't teach you how to be a business owner. They don't tell you how to do any of the stuff that actually comes with it.
Right.
So you can manage a business, but if you know how to create a business, what good is knowing how to manage it? Do you? So I wanted to teach the process of the business idea up to having a business, starting a business, running the business. And then that business management training that they give you actually makes sense. Because then it goes back to, are you trying to run a business or are you trying to be a business owner? Business management is teaching you how to be a business owner. It's not teaching you how to run a business.
Exactly.
So different things.
I need you to put on your because if you don't mind, I know people can't see you, but brother, he's wearing glasses. I need him to take those off and put on the foresight. I need the foresight. Because you mentioned, copious notes and how you've been able to see things that are trends and things that could happen in the future.
Mm-hmm.
As of right now, do you see any trends emerging for small and minority owned businesses in the next, let's say 2-3 years?
I think it's already happened and we're seeing the adjustment made to it. And there are constant adjustments. Like, I will give you an example, and let's stick with the pandemic. The power dynamic changes. And when the power dynamic changes, not just for the businesses, but with the audience is always going to drive the businesses and how they're set up. Because at the end of the day, you can't have a business without having the customers. So one of the things that I try to explain to people is, like, with social media, the thing is, oh, well, social media this, social media that. Let's call social media platforms what they are. They're user-generated platforms.
Mm.
If you didn't put content on there, they couldn't exist.
Right.
So when you hear people say, oh, well, you know, they're trying to get me off of Facebook and try to get me up on their own proprietary platform, think about that. Mm. Every time you post something up on Facebook, all the rest of these platforms, you're giving them content that allows them to be able to make more money than you're making. And before the pandemic, you got a tiny little piece of the pie. Once the pandemic came around and people couldn't leave the house and they needed more content to keep people on the websites, then the slice of the pie changed. So now you're seeing content creators and you're seeing them getting a bigger slice of the pie. You're seeing them get more demographics, more reporting, more analytics. The power dynamic changed. They got to the point where they were like, we can't just continue to just act like you don't matter, because now you matter more than ever. So within that pandemic, all of a sudden, the slice got different. You start to notice these content creators that were working really hard to get stuff. All of a sudden, they got money now. They got t-shirts. They got all these things that they're doing. Yeah. Their business is thriving. The power dynamics change. So when you're looking at trends, what you need to look at is, where is the power now? And what could potentially change to change those power dynamics? So where I'm saying there's an adjustment, their adjustment was two things. First, YouTube took a hit because TikTok took off. Because when people started looking at platforms, TikTok was like, oh, we'll give you more of a cut. Come post your content over here.
Mm.
TikTok has turned into its own version of Wikipedia. Now, when somebody wants to learn something, they can get a quick video short, because that's how short people's attention span is now, for the most part. They can get a quick video short that tells them something, and they can see how to do a menu, like create a recipe and all the rest of the stuff. A lot of that stuff goes there. So now when we talk about power dynamics, let's look at how they wanted to ban TikTok from the United States.
Positive stories, positive people, positive lives. The Life Strong Project.
WSECU isn't just one of Washington's best credit unions. We're a Forbes Best in State 5 years running. Why? Because we put you first. Lower fees, early paydays, financial guidance, and service second to none. As a member-owned cooperative, we love Washington as much as you do, from the Olympic Mountains to the rolling Palouse. Join us and discover how much we care about your financial well-being, because what we really do best is invest in you. Visit WSECU.org today to learn more. Washington, let's credit union.
When you manage procurement for multiple facilities, every order matters. But when it's for a hospital system, they matter even more. Grainger gets it and knows there's no time for managing multiple suppliers and no room for shipping delays. That's why Grainger offers millions of products in fast, dependable delivery, so you can keep your facility stocked, safe, and running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
WSECU isn't just one of Washington's best credit unions. We're a Forbes Best in State, 5 years running. Why? Because we put you first. Lower fees, early paydays, financial guidance, and service second to none. As a member-owned cooperative, we love Washington as much as you do, from the Olympic Mountains to the rolling Palouse. Join us and discover how much we care about your financial well-being, because what we really do best is invest in you. Visit WSECU.org today to learn more. Washington, let's credit union.
Positive stories, positive people, positive lives. The Life Strong Project.
Now, when I just explained it to you this way, doesn't it make more sense that they would want to ban them?
Oh, yeah. Heck yeah. Oh, yeah.
If disruptors, let's go back to disruptors. Mm-hmm. When you're talking about something, the status quo was, we can give you peanuts. And I, you know, just to be able to post on, we're treating it like we're giving you the privilege of posting on our platform.
Exactly.
And then all of a sudden, this other one pops up talking about, oh, no, come over here. We need you. We love you. All of a sudden, YouTube had to start acting different. It changed how they sliced that pie. So now if we fast forward, AI has done that. So now we're looking at the entry level is going down. Mm. So with the entry level going down and there's more people that can be business owners, here's the flip side of that. Just because it's easy to get into, it doesn't mean it's easy to maintain or succeed. Now, because there's more businesses, those that are just doing it because they got a gimmick that was going to last long enough, that's a version of a pyramid scheme.
Mm.
Think about it. The gurus that tell you they're going to 10X, do you know what 10X means? If you were making $0 and I made you $10, I just made you 10X. So when you see somebody saying, oh, we're going to 10X your business, what's your starting point?
Mm.
I'm going to give you game. Like, when I see those things, I'm like, okay, so you 10X. What was the starting point? Were they profitable? Because if they weren't profitable, then if you made them $10, $10, you
10X. Yeah, 10X, yeah.
Wow. 5X. Okay, so you made them 5. I'm over here teaching them how to run a business and have business longevity, and you taught them, you're bragging on making them $5 profit.
Whoa.
I'm teaching you long money. And to stop chasing 20s in the wind and start looking at these dollars you're stepping on. You done stepped on 50 singles because you're chasing a 20 in the wind.
Wow. And I've never looked at it that way.
So when you're talking about looking at trends, these are the things that you need to look at. If you start looking at it as, where is the power now?
Mm-hmm.
And is it on the audience side? Is it on the small business owner side? Everybody is always looking to be able to shift that back over. So where the content creators... And I'm going to put you on game. So, because this is why when I started complaining about AI, people were like, oh, this is great. I don't know why you're being this way. And I'm like, because I've been watching the game long enough to know what happened.
Mm.
I'm going to take it back to the pandemic.
Okay.
The slice of the pie got bigger. They had to start paying content creators more because there weren't as many content creators. They had to pay them more. What has AI done? It's lowered the entry level so that now there can be more people that can create content. They don't even need to think of anything original.
Right.
They can just put in an idea and have it spit out an idea. Now, how long do you think that slice of the pie that these platforms are giving you going to stay that large?
Not very long, apparently.
Because if you've got more people that can post,
right,
then they don't need to give you the same level of money because they can say, go ahead, kick rocks. I'm going to get this guy to come in and give me the same level of content, and I'll promote them more than I promote you because they're willing to take less money. And then that brings us back to the race to the bottom. So when you're looking at game, the game doesn't change. There's just nuances to it. And there's people that make you think that something's your idea, but in reality, they thought of this months ago. That's part of being in the rooms. I've been in rooms where people, like, for example, I said I worked at GQ. I've been in the rooms with fashion styles, and people are thinking they came with a fashion style. No, that was decided in the room months ago,
Wow. Years
ago. They said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to collaborate with this person, and this person, and we're going to start slowly putting this stuff out. By the time we're done, this will be something where we put the right people in it. The next person saw it, then the next person saw it. And because that person seemed like they had the original idea, they say, oh, that person thought of it. They don't need the credit. They just need the money.
They just need the money, yeah. I would say they could care less about credit. Credit ain't never paid nothing.
You know, so it's the game doesn't change. It's just how you play the game changes. So when you're asking about trends, what I look at is AI basically just saturated the market. So for all those people that were content creators that were making more money, you're about to make less money because now there's more options out there.
Wow.
So when I look at people saying AI is going to change everything, it does. And I'm not bashing it. I'm saying it's definitely helpful, but you have to understand where it helps and where it hurts so that you know how to be able to shift your business. So now it's one of those things where now that the entry level is lowered, it means that your expertise level needs to go up, because anybody can say anything, but not everybody can deliver the results. So if you're looking at where to be able to trend, one of the things that I explained to people, they were like, oh, is this going to change like copywriters' jobs and these other people's jobs? Right. No, their job title is going to change. How they do their job is going to change. The results don't necessarily change, just the process. So as a disruptor, I go in to change the process. Anytime you see something new, an innovator is either going to create something that never existed, or a disruptor is going to come in and change how the process is viewed. As simulators are just going to come in and say, okay, so this is how we do it. This is how it's always been done. So we're never going to change how we're doing it. I'm just going to figure out how to be able to get my little piece of the pie. So it's riskier to be an innovator, and it's riskier to be a disruptor, but you get a larger slice of the pie. This is why I discussed entrepreneurial types and understanding where people are in their process. Because if you understand these things, then you can start thinking about your business idea in a way that makes more sense based on your goals. So when I say your definition of success, what I'm saying is, if you want to be able to have a business, but you don't really want to take risk, then I'm going to tell you to go be in a simulator. Don't come in rocking the boat. Come in and say, I just want to get my little piece of the pie. And then once I get to a point where I'm established enough, then I can start to rock the boat a little bit more. And by then, you'll have already stacked some of your money. And let's go back to, I want you to pay out of your profits instead of your pocket. You'll have made enough money, put some of that aside, 33, 33, 34 principle. Mm-hmm. When you sell a shirt for $50, stop thinking you made $50. You did not make $50.
Cost of the shirt.
Cost of the shirt, cost of doing business, cost of marketing and all the rest of that. So you have the business expenses. You've got taxes that you may need to pay, and then you've got the amount that's left over for you. So 33% may go to you, 33% may go to the business, 34% may go to what you need to set aside either for taxes or for your savings, so that when you run into situations that I kind of laugh with people now saying, oh, are we heading into a recession? Here's what people need to know about small business owners. They experience it long before the rest of the world does. The rest of the world experiences it when small business owners run into a problem for long enough that they stop kicking in the money that allows everybody else to do what they're doing. That's the thing about being middle class. Middle class is the ones that are really driving the world going around the way that it goes. Because the people that are making money, that have made their money to the point where it's sickening generational wealth, that money is theirs. It's not going anywhere. The people that don't have money, I mean, you may get government aid and stuff like that. So you might be able to get by on what you get by on. But the only people that are really bring in change are the people that made enough money but still haven't forgotten where they came from to go, I still got to reach back because I can't leave them where I was. And that's why you see a difference. And this is where community comes in and that crabs in a barrel comes in. A reach, reaching a hand back can not only help propel you forward, it raises the floor. So when I'm saying we've lowered the entry level, what I'm seeing is an opportunity to raise the floor. So where the starting point used to be one thing, we can raise what it is because now there's AI. And AI can say, okay, now our expectations have changed. Now the audience is going to be able to say, well, I don't need a content writer. I need somebody that knows how to speak to my specific audience. So your job title changes. The process of delivering that information changes. But the process is still the same. It's just how you deliver it changes. So when you want to look at trends, you want to look at how is the process changing? Is this something that I can get out ahead of? Is this something I'm behind on? Because either you're on the right side of that trend or you're on the wrong side of the trend. Does that make sense?
It makes total sense to me. It makes complete sense to me. I'm seeing majority media. Brother, tell them how they can reach out and contact or connect with Mr. Sean Atkinson or Majority Media.
Sure. I am on Facebook, LinkedIn. Those are ones that I'm probably on the most. Instagram and Twitter, it would be Sean M. Atkinson or Majority Media. And the reality is, I let people know. I at an early age, I never understood why they called us minorities when it was more of us than them. So when I talk about majority, I'm correcting that phrasing to go. It's not just minorities as far as, you know, your hue. It's also small business owners. Like, if you don't understand that you're the ones that actually make the world go around, That's a problem. So part of what I'm doing is making sure that they understand it, and that when they decide that they're going to delve into that world, that you can do it with a certain level of confidence. So I would say for those with more time than money, look up It Takes a Village. That's a free online community that I have on Facebook and LinkedIn, where I drop some gems throughout the week where I can, try to answer questions where I can. I realize not everybody has the budget, but they have the ideas, and they just need somebody to kind of move them down the process. For those that are taking it a little more, I don't want to say seriously, that are further along in their process, I have Done With You. So I have like a paid membership services and coaching services where let's walk through your idea and make sure that you have it right. And then for those that have more money than time, and as somebody that wants to be a business owner and not necessarily figure out how to run a business, there's the Done For You services where you can go to majority.media. And I cover the different business stages. So what I look at is the business journey stages and then the customer journey stage. The business journey stage is you.
WSECU isn't just one of Washington's best credit unions. We're a Forbes Best in State 5 years running. Why? Because we put you first. Lower fees, early paydays, financial guidance, and service second to none. As a member-owned cooperative, we love Washington as much as you do, from the Olympic Mountains to the rolling Palouse. Join us and discover how much we care about your financial well-being, because what we really do best is invest in you. Visit WSECU.org today to learn more. Washington, let's credit union.
When you manage procurement for multiple facilities, every order matters. But when it's for a hospital system, they matter even more. Grainger gets it and knows there's no time for managing multiple suppliers and no room for shipping delays. That's why Grainger offers millions of products and fast, dependable delivery, so you can keep your facility stocked, safe, and running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The customer journey is the sales process of you introducing yourself to an audience and the time it takes for you to go from that introduction to turn them into a customer, and then everything that happens after. And I emphasize the part that I think a lot of people forget is there's still a part that happens after. Like, the customer journey doesn't end when you get the money, because the reality is it's a lot easier to sell to an existing customer than it is to get a new customer. So that goes back to the user experience of, if you're not creating a good customer experience, if you're not creating that luxury experience,
there we go with that
then, word. you're not working towards having that customer come back, and you have to start that process all over again. But when somebody's familiar with you,
right,
then they're more likely to buy from you, and they're more likely to talk about you. And then that goes back to the word of mouth that you mentioned. There are plenty of small business owners that do more business through word of mouth than they do through paid advertising.
Wow. But so you that word of mouth thing is a thing, y'all. It's a thing.
you got to set your game up right. You got to surround yourself with like-minded people that, again, if we get outside of the crabs in the barrel, I know I do branding and marketing. If I'm talking to someone that does logos, I know what it's supposed to look like, but it might take me hours to be able to do something that could take somebody an hour or half an hour. Mm. Why am I going to spend hours doing that when I can give it to you, have you turn that around? And then the efficiency of it is what makes them want to work with both of us. Wow. So I take it back to the Black Wall Street of, start looking at the people that are already in the community that are different parts of what you're doing, that have an expertise that's not quite your expertise, because you'll not only learn from them how to be able to do it more efficiently, but you can be more efficient. And by being more efficient, you'll give more people reasons to want to do business with you, because not only can you give them the results that you need, but you know the right people to make sure that they get the results that they need. So the crabs in the barrel is one thing, but there's an easy enough solution. It's just getting your own ego out of the way. This is why I don't like to talk about myself as much as I like to talk about the challenges and the struggles. I know what I know. I know what I've done. But I know what hasn't been done, and I know what I feel like is partly my responsibility. We all have a role to play. My role is in going, I was in the room. I heard how they talked about us in the room like a dog.
Wow.
And I walked up out of that room like, you know what? I'm going to prove you wrong. I'm going to make sure that I take this information, translate it into something that everyday people can understand. And once you can understand it, then you can see it. So one of the approaches that I take is taking like that industry jargon and turning it into everyday things. Because I think one of the things that's lost is the things we do in our day-to-day are things that can be strategically applied to our business. So we already have the habits. We just don't know that we have the habits. We don't know how to translate them into how to be able to put that into running your business. Mm. I'll put it to you like this. The 9 to 5ers, you're working all week. You get off for the weekend. You know, you got to break things down. If you got chores, you're not giving chores to somebody that can't do it, because you only going to have to turn around and come back and redo fix it, what they didn't get right. If you know you're going to have to go out and do your food shopping, you know you need to get out early before everybody else gets out early, because you still got stuff you got to do when you get back home. That's operations. That's knowing how to be able to manage a team. You already have these habits. You already know how to do these things. You just have to know how to apply it to your specific business and your circumstances. So that's why I start with an assessment, because I want to know what your situation is. I want to know what kind of people you have around you. I will tell specifically brothers, but you know, men in general, women don't downgrade. So if you get ready to start a business, understand, like, you need to know what kind of business you're going into. And I'm not saying that out of, you know, out of trying to be funny. I'm a disruptor. I was with a shorty for 12 years. Notice the was. Because at a certain point, her thing is, you know what? You were making good money on the corporate side. And now all of a sudden, we're not taking the same vacations. We're not doing some of the same things that we were doing. What's going on? And I'm like, well, I mean, the business, it takes a little time to ramp up. Okay. I was fine with that for the first year. Even going into the second year, then the pandemic hit. And then it's like, okay, well, what are we doing? So when you're going into these things, understand what type of entrepreneurial type that you want to be, but also understand your surrounding circumstances. Because if you know you're with a shorty that, you know, she got expectations, you know, I went for a looker, an expensive one.
Yeah.
What in the world made me think I could go in as a disruptor? I need to go in as an assimilator, make the money first, and then go, all right, well, now I'm going to come in here and rock the boat. Because then she wouldn't have been inconvenienced, and I could have continued doing what I was doing without rocking the boat. So this is why I ask, like, who do you have around you? Do you have a good support system where you have a lot of friends and friends of friends? Because if you do, my strategy is going to be, let me show you how to be able to leverage your friends without them feeling like you're using them. If you're someone where you're an introvert, and you're not really good with people, where it comes to like being that salesperson, being out front, my strategies are going to be different for you. My thing is going to be, okay, well, what we need to do is focus more on the results and make sure that your customers do it for you. So then I'm going to lean more into, let's get you the right results and the right audience. And your story, your marketing is going to be your customers talking about how good your product is. Why are you bragging on yourself when you can have them do it for you? It's a lot more credible that way. And it doesn't make you have to come outside of your comfort zone. So this is where being around it long enough allows me to be able to go, this is how you can do it for you. This is how you can do it for you. This is how you can do it for you, and customize it to the individual. I can't tell you how many times I'll talk to business coaches. They're like, what industry do you focus on? I can work with any industry because I already understand the basics of the process. You're basing it on the industry. I'm basing it on the process. The process is the process. The game is the game. I'm just teaching you how to be able to use the game in a way that allows you to be able to reach your definition of success.
Ooh, brother, Mr. Sean Atkinson, we appreciate you dropping all these nuggets on us.
I appreciate the invite.
Oh man,
I mean, it was something. Like, you think I'm over here dropping something? The way he was so graceful about it, I was like, well, how come I'm not coming over here? I mean, it was complimentary. It was like, here's for some of the things we could talk about. Here's the difference we can make. I want to come back and, we can pick up on other talking points. You let me know what you want to talk about. Hey, I've been around for a while.
He's definitely coming back, y'all. He's definitely coming back. That's not even an issue. That's not. It's just.
I've been around for a while. We touched on some things, pause, but like we can go through all the other things that you want to be able to cover and make sure that somebody gets something from it. That's, exactly. I can't take the information with me, but I damn sure made a point of making sure that I knew it. So that I could put people on the game. Because if you know what you're looking at, it changes everything.
Exactly. So listen, y'all, if y'all are about to venture into the realm of entrepreneurship, look this brother up. I mean, I think we just touched on his knowledge. We just grazed the surface, kind of gave it a nice just evening. That's about all we did. We didn't even get down to the roots.
We talk about the what, but not the how.
Oh, see.
You've spoken on some of the how, see, but we talked about the
see,
what. Like,
see, so
here's
that's
what you need to be looking at.
That's, like, that's the next show.
Here's the trends
that's the
that
next
you need
show.
To pay closer attention to. So if you feel like, all right, well, I'm in the AI, sure. But don't build your whole business model on AI. Build your business model around AI being part of the process. there's people where I see them talking about AI specialists and getting certifications, and I'm like, you poor, I don't want to say bastard, but yeah, you poor bastard. Like, you're going to build that whole business, and next thing you know, you're going to be building another business and starting from scratch all over again.
Wow.
Pay attention to the process, because if you know what the process is and you can figure out where you fit in it and how you can monetize it, the business idea is great, but the process is where you make the money, because that's the efficiency. You're making inconveniences convenient. And when you figure out how to make something that's inconvenient convenient, people are willing to pay you for that. And the more convenient you can make it, the more they're willing to pay you. Mm. The better the experience, the more you can officially start to put luxury back in front of whatever it is you want to be able to sell, because what you're selling is a luxury experience. The product could be trash, but the experience is wonderful.
See, so now you got to come back for part two, the how. There you go. You did it to yourself, man.
Purposely, because, you know, I love being able to talk about the game to somebody that could turn around and use it. And you asked the right questions and you sent the right invite. Like,
I know, happy to do it. I appreciate it, man, y'all. So, hey, look this brother up. He's definitely coming back. We're going to have part two about this. Like you said, we didn't talk about the how. So we'll get into the how the next time. But Lifestrong family, as usual, thank you for tuning in. And as always, remember, our lives are fleeting. Cherish them. Your life is ever-changing. You must adapt to it. And last but not least, your life is yours. You got to live it. This is AC, your host, along with Mr. Sean Atkinson. We are saying we are out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to the Lifestrong Project.
WSECU isn't just one of Washington's best credit unions. We're a Forbes Best in State, 5 years running. Why? Because we put you first. Lower fees, early paydays, financial guidance, and service second to none. As a member-owned cooperative, we love Washington as much as you do, from the Olympic Mountains to the rolling Palouse. Join us and discover how much we care about your financial well-being, because what we really do best is invest in you. Visit WSECU.org today to learn more. Washington, let's credit union.
If you work in university maintenance, Grainger considers you an MVP. Because your playbook ensures your arena is always ready for tip-off. And Grainger is your trusted partner, offering the products you need, all in one place, from HVAC and plumbing supplies to lighting and more, and all delivered with plenty of time left on the clock, so your team always gets the win. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, visit Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.